Saint Joan of Arc, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, having begun the beautiful feast of our Lord's ascension up into heaven, we now continue it for the full octave or the 8 days. So today again, you'll be singing the Ascension Mass. But we're thinking about one of the many, many saints of God who ascended not in body yet, but in soul up into heaven. And she is a wonderful example of especially the gift of fortitude that we ask for ourselves each year, to be brave, to stay with it, to do God's will, not to be afraid and not to give up. She is Saint Joan of Arc. She might say she's the patroness of, well, she's the patroness of patriotism and the patroness of soldiers. And she's the patroness, of course, of her own native country, which is France. And the interesting thing, speaking about ascending or going up into heaven, I just learned this today, goes to show the more you read, the more you can learn. I just learned that there was an English soldier whose job was to throw a big bundle of wood, of branches of trees and things, on the fire that was used to execute St. Joan of Arc, because she was burned to death, of course, as a witch, even though she was a most holy virgin and saint of God. She was burned by the wicked English for political purposes, because politics are always the most important thing for important people in the world and even sometimes in the church. Anyway, he was just a soldier, and he was just doing his duty, so he didn't get too close to the fire because he didn't want to get burned, and it was a very big fire. And he threw on the wood, and as he did, he heard her say the holy name of Jesus, but in such a beautiful way that he could never forget how she said Jesus as her last prayer. And then he looked up, and he saw her soul going up into heaven like a white dove. And he followed it all the way up, he says, until the arc of the sky turned, and he couldn't see it anymore. And he was so overcome that he fainted at what he had seen, such a holy and a beautiful sight. St. Joan of Arc ascending her soul up into heaven while her body was being burned at the stake. And so much so that the passers-by took pity on this poor soldier, and they took him to a tavern, and they got him a little something to drink to revive himself. And that's how we know what happened, because they heard the story. Saint Joan of Arc, what a wonderful soldier saint she is for us as soldiers of Christ. Remember that she lived in the 1400s, the 15th century, in a little town in France, and how she was the daughter of farming peasants. And where she lived was the border of several, what were in effect, several different countries. And then sometimes the soldiers would come over and they would have a war, and then they would lose their farm or lose some of their farm animals. So she was very familiar with war, but Joan was a pious girl. She knew how to sew and how to weave and how to cook, and she knew how to garden too. She did all the things that young ladies of her time did. She was a farmer's daughter, but she was always very careful about her prayers. And I think it was at the time of the Angelus when she heard the bells ringing in the parish church, and she was outside working in the garden, that she first heard the first of her, she calls them her voices. Later on, at the third visit of the voices, she would find out that voice belonged to Saint Michael, the archangel. So she's out working in the garden. The bells are ringing for the Angelus. Maybe, I'm not sure if it was noon or if it was in the evening. And then the garden is filled with wonderful light. And she hears the voice telling her, do not be afraid. Angels always say that when they talk to you. They did that for the Blessed Mother. Because if you ever saw or heard an angel, your first reaction would be to be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then it told her to love God, love the house of God, and to be ready to receive guidance from other voices that St. Margaret of Antioch and St. Catherine of Alexandria would come and speak to her. And then later on, at the third visit, she finds out, well, that's St. Michael the Archangel, and he's come from God because God wants her, this little farming girl, just a teenager barely, to carry out a very important mission to save her country, which was being invaded by the wicked English, and to see that the king, Charles, was crowned properly as the King of France in the Cathedral of Reims, because that was the tradition of the French. So, she says right away, and she thinks and she says, she can't ride a horse, she's never even held a sword, and when she tried to, the sword was so heavy that it pulled her down again. She didn't know anything about battle or warfare, but she obeyed, and God, by special graces, gave her all of that talent. She ends up being a very good swordsman. She ends up being an excellent military strategist. She figured out how to conduct the strategy of battle, and most of all, she inspired her troops. She would inspire them with the love of God and for their homeland, and how they must be brave and not worry or be cowardly or anything. And then when she was actually commanding her troops, finally, she made sure that they put God first so that they could receive God's blessings. They had to go to confession. They had to go to Mass. Because back then, as today, many times soldiers weren't too much on the holy side. But you've got to be on the holy side if you want to accomplish anything great or important in this life. So she goes to see one of the military commanders, a general at a place called Vaucluse. And she persuades him that she's the real thing, that she's not crazy or something, which is no small task. And so the military commander, the general, he believes, and then he gives her a military escort, and they ride to the chateau of Chinon. I saw that once. That's where Father Edgar comes from. His house is very close to there. So, and in this castle of Chinon, that's where the prince, he's called the Dauphin Charles, he wasn't a very smart man, and he wasn't a very brave man, or even an especially good man, but there you have it. He was supposed to be the king, and because he was supposed to be the king, he had to be crowned. That's where he was, and he disguised himself to test Joan to see whether or not he could recognize her. Well, sure enough, she did recognize the prince, even though he wasn't dressed like a prince. And furthermore, she told him a secret that only he knew. So that was the proof from heaven that she was sent from God. So pretty soon, she's wearing a beautiful white set of armor. And for the sake of modesty, and because it would be more practical and modest, she's dressed entirely as a soldier, and she has a sword, and she has a beautiful white charger, and she loved her horses, because she was a girl, girls always like horses, so she loved her horses, and she loved her beautiful white armor, and she loved her troops, and she loved the victories that God gave them. But all of the time, she was hearing her voices. God would speak to her through Saint Michael. And sometimes there were other saints, but especially Saint Catherine and Saint Margaret. Well, they go to victory, and the king is escorted finally to Reims, to the cathedral, and he's crowned, and the moment of glory comes, and she knows that it won't last, and that pretty soon she'll have to die a terrible death. She'll have to have her passion and her Calvary. And sure enough, she's betrayed by the king, who's wicked and ungrateful, almost as bad as the English. And the Burgundians, Burgundy was a little country in France at that time, the Burgundians capture her, and they sell her for ransom, just as our Lord was sold by Judas for ransom. And she is carried off by the English, and there is a bishop of the town of Beauvais, his name is Cochon, and this Bishop Cochon is working for the English. And so he gets together a whole lot of priests and monks and things, and they hold a trial, except it's already decided that they have to find her guilty at the trial and put her to death. But during the trial, she was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she had the wonderful wisdom and answers, just as our Lord would show. Saint Joan said some of the most beautiful things whenever this wicked Bishop Cochon, tried to trap her. That what everyone knows is the story about, the bishop says to her one day in the trial, "Are you in the state of sanctifying grace?" And if she had said no, they would have said to all the people, "See, she's a sinner." And if they had said yes, they would have said, "Well, how can you know that? That's something that only God knows if you're in the state of sanctifying grace or not. That's presumptuous and proud on your part. So she answered, just as our Lord would, full of wisdom, she says, if I am not in the state of grace, Your Excellency, may God put me into the state of sanctifying grace. And if I am, may God keep me in the state of sanctifying grace. So then, frustrated with that, they tried other ways to try to trick her or to try to get her. And one time the bishop said to her, say the Pater Noster, because back then, children, you learned your prayers in Latin, and you always said your daily prayers in Latin, never in your own language, because Latin is all of our language. It's the language of the Catholic Church throughout the whole world. So the Pater Noster, of course, you know, that means our Father. And so she says, I'll say the Pater Noster if you will hear my confession, because no one would give her the sacraments as part of her mistreatment in jail. If you'll hear my confession. But then the bishop realized if he heard her confession, then he couldn't sit in judgment over her anymore because of the seal of the confessional. And so he refused and he changed the subject. And he changed the subject to another question. And this question was about whether or not she saw her saints or if she just heard them. And she answered, oh no, she said, you shall not have that either. Little children say that sometimes men are hanged for having spoken the truth. And so she changed the subject and she wouldn't answer. So by this and other means, she had a glorious trial, showed that the Holy Ghost was inspiring all of her words, but then the result was predetermined at the end. She was found guilty of vanity and vaingloriousness, and she was accused of being immodest because she dressed as a soldier, and then she was accused of being a witch, even though she was a most holy and sweet saint of God, Saint Joan of Arc. Then she dies, burned at the stake. Her soul goes to heaven like a dove. And then, just relatively speaking, a few decades later, she is found to be innocent. But it wasn't until modern times, about 100 years ago, that Saint Pius X beatified the saint, and then later on Pius XI canonized her and made her to be the patroness of France. She's a good example, children, to all of us, of course, but she's a good way to remember how do those seven gifts of the Holy Ghost that we're praying today as we start our novena after Mass, how do they work in us? Well, she had the gift of piety. Piety makes you love God and be very respectful to God, but it also makes you love your native land and be very grateful and help out your country. She shows us the gift of piety, and she shows us fortitude, as we said before, she was so brave, and she shows us fear of the Lord. She was afraid ever to offend our Lord. She would never, ever commit a sin. She wouldn't let anyone else commit a sin either. She had understanding to be able to penetrate the depths of the faith and to give very simple, sweet answers. She had knowledge. By knowledge, we're warned of the deceits of creatures. And so people couldn't trick her. They tried to trick her, but they weren't able to. She had the gift of knowledge. And then she had, most of all, the gift of wisdom, which gave her a sense of the things that are of God, that taste for holiness. And this she carried out in her life. She had all seven of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Let's pray to her today, especially on her feast day. If you're getting ready to be confirmed, you should pray to her to become a strong soldier of Christ. If you've already been confirmed, think to yourself, I'm a soldier. Have I been a loyal soldier in Christ's army? Saint Joan, help me to be a good fighter by using my weapons, which are the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.